Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee. We are starting a little bit later, as had been posted, because we had what is known as a chairman's meeting preceding this. Here at the start of the meeting is Alderman Salvucci, Alderman Lappin, Alderman Albright, President Lennon, myself, Alderman Schnipper, Alderman Crossley. I did want to note that the school committee is meeting tonight and talking about space needs and potential to redistrict. And I asked Alderman Gentile, as both a member of this committee as well as chair of finance, to please attend that meeting because I felt that it was critical that somebody from the board be there to give us a firsthand account of the discussion and tone of the discussion. So that is why he is not with us this evening, but we will be hearing from him. The first item before us this evening is 269-10, Verizon New England petitioning for a grant of location to remove and replace an existing tree guy with a new sidewalk anchor guy on pole 1207-6 located at the north side of Sherbrooke Road. And who is here to present, sir? Would you join us at the table? Yeah, thank you.
My name is John Callahan, Verizon.
Thank you.
This request came from the city. They're looking to take down this tree that has our anchor in it, our guy wire in it, and we're going to replace that with the sidewalk anchor guide.
Do you have a drawing as to what that's going to look like?
It's on the back of the last page.
I don't see it.
Oh.
Ah, sorry.
It's on the back of this.
The last page.
This one.
You want to give me the circle on this?
No, thank you. Sorry. Okay, can you just describe this? This is going horizontally?
Yes.
What height?
It'll be at least 8 feet off the ground. It just comes, the pole sits there, it'll come across and go straight down.
And what will be on the pole? In terms of visibility so that residents don't walk into it?
It would be covered with an yellow coating. It's pretty hard to miss once we place them. All these guide wires we place now, we put yellow coating on them.
Is it cushioned in any way or is it simply painted?
It's a rubbery coating. The tube that they put on it is really not real cushioned, but...
Is it checked periodically to make certain that these have not come off and become simply a metal pole?
They do, yeah.
Okay, comments from...
Can you describe it again? So this is a burn, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And the pole is, which one, is this the pole?
This is the pole, so it will come straight off the pole and the anchor will be straight down like this.
So it's all in the burn?
Yes, correct.
Any questions from the alderman?
I know if it's in the berm, I don't know. I suppose that's where it has to go, if that's where the post is. No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, at this point in time, I'd like to open the public hearing. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak in favor or in opposition?
I'll just speak in favor. I'm actually the property owner.
Could you simply give us your name and address for our record?
So it is not September 17th Sherbrooke Road. And the guy bar is currently in a dead tree, most of which fell in my yard on June 1st. And so I called Verizon to ask to get the guy bar removed so that the city could get down the rest of the tree. So, and I'm perfectly happy with the solution that they've come up with.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public who wants to speak on this? Hearing none and seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Alderman Crossley, do you want to make a comment?
Yes. This is the second time since I was sitting that I've heard of a case where guy wires have been anchored to dead trees. The last one we heard actually didn't get come back to us. Last spring, and it was urgent, but it hasn't come back before. So my question is,
that was his,
do you remember that?
Self, was that
on Homer Street? No. Off of Homer Street, very close to that. I was just looking at the, again, when we saw this, but, so I wonder if the, if NSTAR has done a survey and knows, or the city knows, how many of these kinds of conditions we have, which clearly are not going to last very long, any of them?
I really couldn't answer that.
Is that a concern? Trees are falling in people's yards after being dead trees, sort of large tree stumps or tall tree stumps.
We don't make this a practice of something just to anchor these poles going back probably 15, 20 years ago, but we don't do that anymore.
No, I
we don't use trees, right?
If we have a handle on how many we have left to be concerned about.
I've never heard that question asked or answered. Okay. We certainly could make a request to both NSTAR and Verizon because, of course, the city is split.
Mm-hmm.
And find out if they know how many there are so we could check on the condition. Okay. So we certainly could make that request. David Olson is here tonight acting as clerk because Shauna Sullivan has gone home ill. So just want to put that in the record. Thank you. Any further comment, Cheryl?
I'll move further.
Okay. Any other comment? Is there any comment from engineering?
We do not. We looked at the site and we're fine with it.
Thank you. Those in favor? 5-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, because she needs to go to the school committee, I have asked Stephanie Gilman to speak with us briefly. You might recall when we interviewed her for the role which she is currently serving in, the issue, Scott, did you want to be included on that vote?
What's that? Verizon?
No, yes.
No, I'm fine. That's okay.
Okay, thank you. We asked her to get back to us about Fire Station 7 because we had heard some things, and she needs to be at the school committee for this major discussion, so I said we would do this briefly and quickly just to get a brief update as to what is the situation at Station 7, where we are, and... So Stephanie, let me turn it over to you.
Okay. So the current status is that the mechanics have been relocated to station number 10. The remaining firefighters and equipment for engine 7 is now they're now in the temporary quarters. A ladder trucking company was going to go to the temporary station, but they've decided to move them to station number 3. So they are all set up now. As the old station,
do you want to close the door? Thank you.
The existing station definition said the underground storage tanks have been removed. The contractors have begun their work to do some demolition. They've already begun electrical demolition. Asbestos abatement is going to start in the next few days, and then the interior demolition will begin after the abatement work is done. That's okay.
I was just wondering if we had any sense how long the project is going to take.
So the estimate is 10 to 12 months. At the outside, the end of October of 2011. The budget was originally $4.2 million total. At this point, it's come in under budget, so we believe it's going to be a total of just under $4 million.
I think it was $4.7 million, wasn't it?
I just got off the phone with Art, literally on my drive-in, $4.2 million, and I'm not sure where the 4.7 number is. Do you have something that says 4.7? Okay.
The budget was $4,770,000. That's what we had up here.
Okay. And I know I have this.
Budget, but not the actual contract.
No.
The contract came in under.
Right. I'm just saying.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It came in along with 3-3.
3-3.
And the temporary housing came in a little bit over, so we're still under budget. The thing is, we're at the beginning of construction for that.
Right. You never know what's
going to happen. You never know what you're going to find, especially as you're going into a set with the beta.
Has some of the issues that we had heard about in terms of the trucks not fitting into the temporary quarters, et cetera?
They fit in there. There was an issue about access into some of the side compartments, and they shifted the truck around to make sure they could make the turns to get out of the driveway and the station, and that all seemed to work. The decision to move the ladder truck to station number 3 has really eliminated that problem.
And 3 is where? I'm sorry, Scott. I don't know.
Lincoln Center.
Yeah. Sure.
I thought that the structure wasn't big enough so that they lifted it up and then there were holes underneath. Is that not the case? Or?
So,
and I know that now the truck isn't in there, then why did they even do it?
Apparently, it's a prefabricated structure that is housing the trucks. Originally, the manufacturer of that structure, the details for how it's anchored to the ground were a bit flimsy, and the Art and Ted, who are managing the project, and they looked at it, felt that it needed to be beefed up. They did raise it up, and it's got piers into the ground, and it's anchored. It's sort of super reinforced.
So it's not framed?
It's a sheathing on the outside. So even if they didn't raise it up, it would still be a sheathing coming down to that. I haven't actually looked at the details of how the manufacturer said to attach that, and I can certainly do that.
So it'll still work, and it's not going to cost us any more money, and it doesn't need any extra money for anything?
On the temporary structure?
That's fine.
To my knowledge, it works. I know that there's, we were out with a group yesterday, and there was some concern about how that edge works. And I can certainly look at that and make sure that we're meeting whatever the manufacturer has specified. But a few things were done to reinforce that structure to make sure that it was going to handle the size of the weight of the doors, and then to be anchored securely. There was construction that was done to reinforce that structure. Not because it was necessary based on the manufacturer's requirements, but because on our side, we wanted to ensure that it was structurally sound.
Okay, great.
For the purpose.
Do you know when this project will be, how long will it take?
The estimate is 10 to 12 months. So, you know, right now, at the outside, it would be the end of October 2011.
Questions? Anybody? Good.
Yeah, the construction estimate came in at $3.3 million. Does that include the rental of the two structures?
Yeah, that's a good question. The temporary housing is part of this.
Okay.
Which would be, it's all of the construction, but that may not include that. Maybe the difference.
Can you get back to us on that?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can update this.
I know I look at it. I've been told on occasion not to look at the budget.
Maybe with some other
questions. Well, I think the one that Arthur does it sort of from the project perspective, and David Wilkinson does it more from the financial.
Yeah.
There's a few more columns in David, so I think in terms of, you know, bottom line costs, we were told to sort of look at David's a little bit more closer. This is sort of giving you an idea as to what's going on with the project.
Okay. Well, I have in the past, like on the New York High School budget, I must try to reconcile the two different entities and were known by us questions.
Which is good.
Well, but that's a good thing to point out because it should make sense. We're all intelligent people sitting around the table looking at this.
Yeah.
And actually, I have to admit that I walked out of my office without this. So,
I will get back
to you with the updated numbers. Because this is budget numbers. I don't know if this is big, you know.
It's very high level. It's
right.
Showing you that, you know, something wasn't budgeted at $250,000 and we spent $500,000 to say, hey, what's going on there?
But there is a project budget that's more detailed than this, mm-hmm. that who is the superintendent for the city, or not superintendent, but
the primary lead on this is
Park. Okay. What I'm curious about the structure, I drive by it all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I get the temporary housing piece, but the piece that's for the trucks
mm-hmm.
Looks like a tensile structure to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a tent, like a strong tent. And there's sandbags along the bottom of each side.
This issue was raised yesterday, and you know what, I didn't look into it, and I will.
Okay.
I know.
This is for the record.
This is a story of a process.
I am more than happy to give you whatever information you have. I don't have it all in my head right now. I was literally cramming on my way in. But in any case, I'm aware of all the concerns, and I'm happy to give you updated budget numbers, and I'm happy to look into that particular issue around the edge of the station.
It was my understanding from the meeting yesterday that the sheeting coming down is tacked.
Yep.
This sandbag that you see is an added.
Because
we want to make sure they don't stop with it. And plus the fact that I know when I went inside the garage, there's a berm, mm-hmm. hot top berm all along the edge and the inside, so nothing can water or anything can see through.
Okay.
But it is attached.
It's heated, is it?
Huh?
It's not heated.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Top shelf.
It has to be because certain things that are on the engine that can't be frozen.
Water in there, too, I think.
It's heated to, and I don't know what it is, it's not 70
degrees.
It's
like 50 degrees.
I think it's something like 50 degrees.
Did anyone see that email that went around a few years ago about the ski slope in the inflatable structure in Dubai?
Yes. I know someone who's been there.
Well, I actually do have one more question since that was more in the record and I'm really not trying to get under skin or anything. A long time ago when the design review committee looked at the plans, not the plans that were finally issued, but the plans that were about to be issued, they raised a long series of questions, which the one that I'm curious about, because I tried to follow up on it, didn't really get there. When you do a fire station, there are two uses. There's a residential use and a commercial use, and you have to separate those uses, both in terms of fire code and in terms of building insulation. And that's really hard to do on an existing building, but when you gut it and rebuild like this,
so you're talking about the renovations to the existing
structure. Existing structure is very hard to do because you're starting with an old concrete mm-hmm. structure. And the questions were all around the details and how are you actually creating that boundary. And I would just love to hear back on that point.
Okay.
Before you wait.
Do you know if that was taken to ISQ?
I don't know. Because I really don't know.
That
I asked.
Okay, I'm happy to call.
Okay, good. Anything else? Well, thank you for joining us. Don't race too fast down
South Walnut.
You'll get blamed off in the S-curve.
I'm going to blame you guys.
Exactly. And we'll look forward to...
Okay, so I have two or three pieces of information that I need to follow up.
Okay, terrific.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just on sure. that, can I just take 1 minute to talk a little bit about, no.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, in fairness to Stephanie, she got to sit in for the first time.
Absolutely.
On the subcommittee meeting, really got a trial by fire, because I think some of the problems that have led up to the beginning of the construction work done because of a lack of communication among some of the departments involved. Okay? And so all the departments involved were there yesterday, and Stephanie got to see kind of how this dynamic worked. And, you know, I know she's committed to taking care of a number of these things. What we did learn yesterday is now that construction has started on Station 7, that there will be weekly project meetings like they do with the high school. But that has not happened up to this point, which has also added to some of the problems and confusion, some of the things like Cheryl's raising, that you're raising. I just want to be clear about the subcommittee, and as I mentioned in the chairman's meeting, it's mostly my fault. I mean, I sort of became the de facto chairman after it started, because I was just the one that was taking the initiative to put the things together. But the point being is that it was originally put together, if folks remember, it wasn't to deal with the day-to-day and the weekly problems. It was to deal with, now that this station is underway, where are we going from here? Are we talking 10? Are we talking 3? Are we talking... And that's not what's happened. It's sort of regressed to trying to be the project manager, which we should not be doing. So with the help of Mr. Rooney, I don't know if he's here,
he's going to another committee.
We developed, he was very helpful in trying to assist in a new agenda to make it clear to all the parties that were at the table that we are not the project managers. So we spent the majority of our time yesterday talking about cleaning up some of these issues, because there are a couple of outstanding issues from Station 4 as well. I don't know if you folks know that, but there's a problem with regard to the windows that we installed at Station 4. If you remember, the windows were put in prior to doing the building. We did the windows and the roof, and then we did the building. So it's been determined. I mean, now it's getting to the point where Bob Rooney felt that the law department should be involved, because we feel it's a problem with the manufacturer. Sal may have a different take on that, because he was very vocal about that yesterday.
Sal vocal?
Oh, yeah. These meetings tend to get rather vocal. But anyway, I don't want to keep beating this, because we would like to give a further update. But there is some work left to do on 4. There, you know, Station 7 is now, the construction that Stephanie mentioned is underway, and they'll be meeting weekly on that.
Starting tomorrow.
We're starting tomorrow at Thursdays. There is a clerk of the works of this project, just so everybody knows, and the clerk of the works was helpful in trying to explain a little bit of the issue you were talking about, Cheryl, about why those things are now raised. It wasn't the issue so much that it was raised. It wasn't ordered wide enough. That's what it was. And the temporary garage, if I understand it correctly, was not ordered wide enough. So when you backed in the engine and you backed in the ladder,
Couldn't
open the doors. One would have to open the doors, and the other one would have to wait while the other doors were open. But now that they moved in the housing structure that we got, quite frankly, it was too small to house an engine company and a ladder company. And, you know, it was because of the lack of communication, and if we're not pointing any fingers, there was an 11th-hour decision, and I'm not afraid to say it, there was an 11th-hour decision made to take the ladder company and move them to Station 3. So that sort of solved the issue of the temporary garage not being wide enough, because now you only have the engine in there. But in terms of trying to, if you walk in the temporary housing, it's tight, and it's going to be tight for a year, and it would have been tighter if there were, let's just say, for the sake of argument, 8 guys instead of 4.
Cool.
So
I think there's some walls that are going to take down.
Right. So these are issues that, you know, we have sort of been mulling about up to now. But now when the subcommittee meets, we spent the last half an hour talking about where we're going from here. And just real briefly, I hate to keep harping on it, is that there was money, as you remember from the other night, there was design money put aside for a fire station. It wasn't specified which one. If we, in best case scenario, we would probably be doing Station 3 next. It's in the worst condition. But because this whole fire station triangle project is sort of hanging out there, even if it's not definitive, but I think the stuff, what we talked about the other day was kind of making a recommendation. We have a full budget. Is to go with the next one that's in bad condition, which would be Station 10, until this fire station which triangle P Station 10 is up on Dedham Street. And until this fire station triangle project idea concept is a yay or a nay, that's going to be hanging on there. And so those are the things we're talking about now, and we'll report back to this board. No decisions have been made, but those are the things that the subcommittee was originally set up to talk about that we're now going to focus on talking about.
Good.
Sorry if that got a little windy.
No, that's good, Deb.
No, actually, I think this is really important, and I'm frankly concerned. There's so many things that feed into perhaps why this occurs, this kind of thing occurs. I think I see clearly, I don't know how anybody else has been here longer than me, that our building department is probably some of the department that is the most short-staffed of any department. And it is, you know, it's both, to my view anyway, number of staff and skill sets, proper skill sets, or, you know, to, according to the work. And we don't have a small list of projects out there. We have a really long list of projects that are ongoing at any one time. And to have essentially, now we have a commissioner, but in addition, for a long time we've only had an interim commissioner, Josh, David, and me.
I don't mean to point that at
you, 6'10". The old fellow, just one other level person who's. Right, so it's just that number of people.
Right.
And we have something like, we have New York High School ongoing and something like 54 other small projects.
Excellent. Handful of people.
It's just an untenable situation. I'm really glad to hear that your committee and I imagine with the executive are talking about making a solid connection with ISD, because that hasn't been happening.
Just so people are aware too, the subcommittee is made up of, originally it was myself, Sal, Alderman Gentile, and Alderman Colletti. Well, obviously, Alderman Colletti doesn't sit on it anymore, so I had asked Alderman Ciccone, as chair of public safety, to sit on it. The executive office sits in. Both fire chiefs sit in. The head of the union sits in. And the head of, who did I miss there? Head of the union sits in, both chiefs, and the buildings department, Arthur and Stephanie, is now in there. So it's a pretty, you know, decent-sized group. And the, you know, we're finally headed in the right direction.
So
good.
You know, on the Austin Street parking lot, which is sort of a similar issue to the triangle, we had a committee going, sort of its own. It had its own momentum. It had that Phil Hare was involved with, and it was a 2-year citizen-involved setting process. And none of that has happened with the triangle.
Let me just say the following, okay? There's a lot of carts being put before horses because none of these properties have been declared surplus. So planning for development on them, if the city is not committed to moving in that direction.
There was no commitment to surplus Austin Street when that process happened. It was an idea which was put forward by some folks, and then they got citizens together and said, okay guys, what do you want? What's your vision for Newtonville? And how does this fit into it? So that, you know, just because somebody came up with a proposal and flunked it on the table and reuse doesn't mean that particular plan has been
correct.
Correct.
And the reason I'm saying is that to hold up that fire station for God knows how long because a proposal flunked itself on the table at reuse,
well,
something missing there.
One of the things we talked about the other day was, and I believe, I don't want to throw it on Bob, but Bob said, you know, he's going to sort of flush out what sort of legs this triangle thing has. It's kind of been the elephant in the room.
Right.
But we haven't really focused on it because we're trying to figure out why the structure is too high and the sheathing and the berm and the housing, and those weren't things we should have been talking about. Now we're starting to talk about the, like something that you're raising, and Bob said, I got to get my arms around this and figure out if at all we're moving on this.
Yeah, I mean, so. and it needs to be a wider group of
yes.
people to participate in it. And so, but anyway, it's a shame to me to let it just sit there because somebody happened to plunk something down
right.
on the table.
Right.
Now, are we asking the question in that for this committee and citywide about whether we believe the
How many fire stations are there? Six?
Seven, I think.
Are they?
Six with the headquarters.
Six with the headquarters.
Seven with the headquarters. Yeah. Okay, so are these fire stations located well throughout the city, and are we needing to rebuild every one of them?
Stephanie asked a question yesterday, and you know the answer is in terms of you know coverage and ISO ratings and all those types of things. They are where they need to be, and you know the. If anything, they're going to tell you they want more, you know, not...
The fire department.
Yes.
Well, I guess as I visited some of the fire stations, the one that you're saying that Station 10, which is the one on Devon Street, which is a really tiny station at the very edge almost of the city, and I...
It's a good edge.
It's a busy station.
I got you, but, you know...
The question's more a question for the fire chief and so operationally, and okay. They're saying that...
Right. So... Do you think we could be presented with some data about the usage numbers?
We can, because I think that's information would be readily available. Because when we eliminated Engine 6, you know that whole spectrum came in. Is what about coverage? Where are we? What's happening? So that all, yeah. I think they would probably have that information readily available. But I think it's more of a programmatic operational question for them. I'd be happy to try to solve yep. getting that back for you.
And then I guess the last question is, I imagine we have there's a lot of millions of dollars each time we renovate one of these stations. And so is the question being asked, renovate or rebuild? I mean, is there really a savings to renovate in some cases, or is rebuilding called for? Well, I'm sure it does. I just wanted to just put it out there.
Yeah. I'm sure they look at it.
You'd much rather have the location.
Yeah.
It's actually easier to build a new
station. Yeah, but you're going to have the location, too.
I know. But it's easier to build a new station.
Oh, sure. Renovation's always worse. The things you put on the wall.
Well, hopefully this will be part of your committee's work in terms of the overall plan and not just station by station, the overall plan. Okay, I'd like to leave this. We will come back to it again. It's not a docket item. It just came in because I had asked for that update. 272-10, President Lennon recommending Jeremy Munn of 971 Walnut Street, Newton Highlands, be appointed as an automatic appointee to the Design Review Committee, term of office to expire 12/31/11, which is when our current terms. Jeremy, are you here with us? I assume you were Jeremy. You were the only person I didn't recognize. Would you join us up here at the table? Oh, absolutely. It's quieted down now. Yes, it is warm. Welcome. Please, we all do have your resume, but do tell us a little about your interest in serving on this and a little bit about your background.
I'm a licensed architect. Got my license in the state of Massachusetts about 3.5 years ago. Been practicing in the field between 8 and 15 years, depending on how you count. I have a professional degree, and I'm currently a project manager for a large international architecture firm with a Boston office, and I focus on healthcare and life science projects. I'm currently managing, two or three projects at a total of between $7 and $10 million worth of construction. So I do have some experience with details. I obviously heard about this temporary station, and my thoughts to go through a little was a study done to see, you know, when the doors were open. Obviously, in hindsight, it's pretty easy to understand this, but. And then my thought about the sandbags was I had thoughts running through my head on why they're there. I have never driven by this station, so I have no idea what it looks like.
Take a ride by.
But it's all interesting, and I think the challenges you guys discuss are things that, as a problem solver, as an architect, I can help think about it as a strategic book.
Terrific. Let me open it up for questions. A colleague of yours, Alderman Crossley, is also an architect. So We're delighted to have her at our table on a regular basis. Questions from members?
Have you ever attended one of the design review committee meetings?
I have not. I've been to planning review meetings, but I haven't been to a design review.
It's a large time commitment.
He was concerned about that when we spoke, and he had a conversation with Arthur Cabral about the time commitment and how it kind of, this piece of that is how it works, and I think that was the last piece that we kind of were talking about, that if he had a comfort level with the time commitment, that we would go forward with his appointment. Can I just take a minute to...
Absolutely.
One thing that when we were doing this whole appointee process was I really appreciated Jeremy's tenacity because he had a real interest in serving on either designer selection or design review, and he constantly was emailing me and asking me where are we and what's going on. I'd like to serve, and you know, when we started to get to the point about submitting resumes and talking about where we were going, the first thing that jumped out to me, and I mentioned this to Cheryl and David in our weekly meetings, was I really thought that a nice piece about his resume and his experience was project management. We hear about that an awful lot, and you know, it was his resume was in a good way littered with project management. And I thought that was a really good piece. And I like the fact that, you know, it was in different concentrations that I liked. And I think that it's one thing that would be an asset to design review with regard to people that are on the ground with projects. As I mentioned, I put forward the other candidate who has a different background and a different concentration and a construction background. I think that was the gentleman I talked to. But having the ability to be a project manager. And when it was sort of decided on whether to appoint Jeremy to design a selection or design review, I talked to you a little bit about this when we met, and said you'd be interested in doing that, so that's why I put it forward. And I think his background and his resume and his, when we talk about making sure that the people that we appoint are board advocates, you know, I like the way he kept contacting me, and I felt that he worked very well on our behalf, so.
So I have a request for you. As you're assuming you're going to get approved and get involved with the process. So we have a lot of questions about how this process has worked in the past and how it should work in the future. How the processes
process
of project review, the design review process, and who's involved and who should be involved and who's not involved. So, you know, as you work your way through as a fresh set of eyes on the process, I would love to get your opinion about,
sure,
you know, who, how is it working?
Yep.
Do you think the right people are on the right committees? Are the right things happening at the right time? So, you know, keep your eyes and ears open and give us some feedback about all of that. There was one of the things we had talked about in this committee was a larger role, maybe not more time, but a larger role for design review to continue after the project started.
Right. Well, we
talked about
to at some point review what the role is and look and see whether or not
right.
We feel
so that might be something else you want to look at, like once you're done with that, would it be helpful to follow along with the project after the initial review?
I've been on that committee for 20 years, I guess. And I was the automatic appointee. And one of the things that I found...
Self-background was in construction.
...was the problem with trying to not review the design, but to change the design. And I don't think that's what they really put together for. I don't think why the committee should meet. I mean, if they see something wrong.
Right. When I chatted with Art on the phone, I said, really, what is the scope? Is it design intent? Is it to work with the hired architect to help come up with the concept? And he said, no, it's to sit there and look at the drawings and say, that detail's wrong, you know, I did this way once and we got burned by the contractor and I don't want to see the city get burned.
That's what I'm talking about. And it's,
right.
You know, if you see something, that's what you're doing.
Right.
You're reviewing the design and if you see a flaw that you think can't be corrected, that's what it's about. Some of them.
Right. And it sounds like it's very technical.
We spent hours making changes on some of the designs that to me were...
The last
project, really, was Newton North.
We spent every Thursday night.
Years and years and years. There's nothing of that size or scope
right.
on the horizon.
Ever.
Thank goodness. Probably
never,
ever, ever again. But we also shifted to construction manager at risk, which is a new process. So that the roles change slightly, and it's something I think we need to look at. But it would be interesting to have a totally fresh pair of eyes come in and see.
Is there like an owner's project manager involved required
yes.
by the city?
Yes.
Okay. It's just because there's certain consultants that I think the city should rely on and have you guys removed from the process.
Yeah.
That's a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, you don't want to remove us too far.
Not too far. I know, but you shouldn't be worrying about sandbags. That's the point.
That's not our fault. You're right.
The aldermen should not be at that detail level. There are professionals that do this on a daily basis that should be dealing with that and then reporting to you guys.
You know, if I'd have thought of that yesterday, I'd have brought that up. Where was he? The guy that
so I think... this committee is understanding the bigger process of how procurement and how consultants are hired and the roles and all that.
I'd be interested in your feedback on, I don't know if you read the ordinance that describes.
I did,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
it was a while ago, so.
The recent history of it is that the design review committee has not always been asked to weigh in at the same point in every project. Especially the smaller projects. Some recent history is that they've been asked at such a later point in the project that if they had some, you know, comments about some of the assumptions made before you got started, that would have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't want to have too many people involved in cooking in the kitchen, you know, all the time. So there has to be some kind of a balance mm-hmm. there. But to really use well the expertise that's assembled on that committee, it's pretty broad when it's fully seated. Excuse me. Well, I'd just like to get back on that too.
It probably is on a project-by-project basis. Mm-hmm. I just think about how I execute a schedule, and every project's different. So, but there needs to be, you know, depending on the size of the project, at the end of schematic design or the end of design development, end of major design periods, there should be a review period with the city, and that's where these things get ferreted out. Mm-hmm. So you've got it. You can catch these issues much earlier so that, you know, in an ideal situation, but...
Have you been able to speak to any other members of the design review committee?
I haven't, no.
I'll move it.
Thank you. I just want to say on behalf of the committee and the city, thank you for your willingness to serve and share your expertise and devote your time. So
we won't hold it against somebody moving it next door to Aldrin Parker.
Former.
Oh, overall.
Is that where you were next to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We just had a conversation about that. I think it's great that he's willing to serve younger family, younger kids going into the schools, and he's really looking forward to getting involved in the city.
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
It's nice to see a new generation. Those in favor? 6-0. Thank you again for your willingness.
Thank you.
Okay. The next two items before us are 271-10 and 270-10. Both are reappointments. One is Howard Goldberg, the other is Lawrence Bauer, and it has been our, both are designer selection. It has been our process that unless requested, we do not ask them to come in yet again. Because they are spending so much time in their roles but asking them to give up yet another evening. So, if there are no concerns, I would entertain a motion on both.
Move it.
Okay. Those in favor? 6-0. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, just so you're aware, there is one more appointment that we have to design a selection that we're flushing out.
Terrific.
Okay.
Terrific.
the sooner the better we bring it in, but there's going to be some issues coming before.
Is there clear on design review?
Not yet, sir. We're trying to do the best we can.
Do the best you can, sir, because I'm not getting any more meetings.
I understand, sir.
Okay. The next item before us is 295-10.
I could have went down a program.
Okay, do you know if Bob is around?
Yes,
His Honor the Mayor requesting Board of Aldermen approval to increase the building department personnel by one employee for the period from October 25th to February 12th, 2010. If you read the backup, thank you, Mr. Rook.
2011.
Okay. What?
2011.
Oh, thank you. Right. February 12, 2010 passed us quite a few months ago. It would have been worked backwards. Thank you for catching that. If you read the backup, the current person in that role is out on family leave, is scheduled to retire. This leaves a huge deficit in the department. Dick Corbett? So that there is a need to have somebody in this role. We can't really leave it vacant, and this certainly coincides with your comment before about there being really very understaffed when you look at the kinds of work that we're asking them to do. Do we know who this person is?
That has come in?
Yes.
Yes, his name is Steve Regan.
Can I just take a moment out, because Cheryl and I both had the wonderful opportunity to meet this gentleman as part of the building commissioner interview process. And he was absolutely terrific. And at the end of his interview, everybody said, this isn't the right role for him, but we have the perfect role. And we were very, very impressed by him. So I'm delighted at that. I'm sure there were other candidates, but I don't mean to speak for you, but we were very impressed with this gentleman who has been in charge of all of the facilities at Current College and had, you know, quite a wonderful
background. Where is he? Why isn't he here?
He is here. Oh, you mean tonight?
Yeah.
My question was just about...
they're asking for the position. If you'd like to be here, we can certainly ask that he come.
We met him that day. He came into the... Remember at the meeting down at the buildings yesterday? Was it yesterday?
You were there?
That's the guy we introduced. He shook his hand.
I
he came in at the end.
I wasn't there at the end. I left.
Oh, okay. He came in. He met the alderman in there.
We can ask him to come in sometime.
I'd like to meet him.
I have to say I was very impressed. And I think that he's going to bring in energy and experience, and
why is he being cut off at that date? Is there a reason for that?
Well, then it'll come in as a permanent appointment within the current budget.
We have a total up until now. So we cannot exceed the total.
This is an extra position because Dickie's out on family leave until he retires?
Well, when he retires, it'll be just the same.
It will be filling that role that's already in the budget.
It won't be an increase in
No.
Numbers.
No.
Right.
It's only an increase for this short period of time because we need the help.
So does this have to be finance also?
No, there's no money.
No, there's no money.
No, there is money.
We have money from within the budget. We're not moving money in. We have either vacancies or positions that were filled below budget.
There's money in the budget in the department.
As a department, yeah. There's a custodian vacancy right now that has been contributing to surplus.
The building commissioner wasn't filled for many months.
Yes.
So that was... So,
I'll move approval.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? This doesn't come back to us for reappointment, but it would be nice for each of you to meet him. So we will ask at some point.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine.
We were just talking about why.
That's fine.
The FTE wasn't, but.
You know what would be terrific once Stephanie gets to take a breath, would be to understand
just really who are the staff in the building department, whether we know them or not, but sort of how we're planning to organize the work going forward. I mean, sort of concurrent with getting into a new capital improvement plan, you know, what's our staff?
Well, we do really get to look at that during the budget process. That's many months ahead.
Right.
And there is the potential for some reorg within that as you're changing the roles, et cetera, which, you know, may be coming up around budget time.
I think it seems
would be nice to just have a discussion.
Begin the discussion earlier would be helpful as we're talking about, you know, projects and things we're going to need to be managing. Who's doing it?
Well, a good time might be when you come to us for the money for the study, for the
capital study.
Yes.
I mean, currently that we are following the budget organization chart, so it is as seen. But you're right. When the commissioner gets her feet on the ground and understands the moving parts, she may elect to make some changes, but she has not yet. I will say that two things. One is Mr. Regan has hit the ground running. I'm sorry you didn't meet him because he's really melding well with the workforce, but also understands buildings and how to, and brings a level of technology that they didn't have. The second piece is that this is the second FTE overage that was brought before the board in this month. And I think this administration is kind of looking at the ordinances and what should happen. And I think Alderman Johnson, you know, may have some insight as to how should organizations transition vacancies. And right now, what happens is there's a spike of retirements that happen in January because everybody gets 5 weeks. So the way the budget's constructed, even if you know the retirement's coming, you only budgeted for X number of FTEs. They take 5 weeks. You're guaranteed a five-week gap. Now, in any organization I've been in, you try to get somebody in 2 days or a week ahead just to you know, this was not a hostile evacuation. There's 40 years of experience that walked out the door, and there's not any overlap. And it happens time and time again. And so somebody starts now, there's some, the argument could be that, well, they start fresh and, you know, it's a clean slate. But on the other hand, there's so much involved in local bureaucracy that it would be helpful to kind of tip them off as to what, how to navigate some of that. And I think I see major positions that go unfilled, partly because there's no budget to cover. So I think in the financial discussions that we've had about creating a transition account for that purpose so that somebody unexpectedly leaves or plans to retire, we can look ahead and be more thoughtful about that overlap. So I appreciate your support on this because that's, you know, it is too critical position to leave it until he won't be until February.
You've got to have this overseen and disguised and do it enough, Dick.
Okay, there is a motion to approve. Those in favor? 5-0, Alderman Lennon not voting.
Thank you.
The next item before us is 17509, Public Facilities Committee requesting monthly updates from the Department of Public Works on the Commonwealth Avenue project. Frank, if you will join us at the table. I need to step out for a moment, folks. I will be right back. I will say that the reason that I asked you to come in person, because we have been getting the monthly updates, has to do with the fact, in addition to the fact that the project has been stalled, your comment that we're approaching 10% exceedance.
That was word from MassDOT, yes.
And that we are potentially at risk for some cost?
Yes.
Okay, so I will be back in just a moment, folks. I'm sorry, I need to step out for a moment. You want to start the discussion, and I will be right back.
Well, the good news is MassDOT finally sent me a spreadsheet for a budget. which isn't complete, but the bottom line is when they were incorrect in that we're approaching the 10%. 10% of the contract budget is $487,000. At this point, they've overspent $190,000, so we still have almost $400,000 cushion before we reach the 10% before they would tax the city or potentially tax the city. So in discussions with them today, they don't seem to indicate that we will exceed the 10%. Okay. So it's good news.
So it won't be costing us anything.
No, no. And even if it were
to... How do we ever get into a position where the state is doing its job and we have to worry about go overages and so forth?
That was started more than 10 years ago. Mass Highway started that 10 years ago because what happened is Mass Highway would do projects and then the cities and towns would get involved and start adding things. And Mass Highway would just pick up the cost and pick up the cost. They no longer do that. So they cap the 10%, contingency of 10%. Okay. And if you exceed the 10%, the city and town is not always on the hook for it. There's a negotiation that takes place.
Have we added something to this?
We have not. No, but the exceedance at this point, I'm told, is based on police details and fuel cost adjustments during the project, so which they can't control really. But the good news is all the subsurface work is completed, which is where you find most of your surprises. The rest of it should be straightforward.
How much more are they asking?
Well, their completion date is May 26th of 2011, but as you know, they can't begin again until after the marathon. So they only have a narrow window to complete this thing.
Why aren't they working now?
Right now, there's still negotiations that are still held up with the NSTAR issue that was mentioned in my memo. The contractor and NSTAR can't reach agreement on NSTAR's cost to do their work, their subsurface work. And that has completely stalled the project. We met, I think, 4 or 6 weeks ago in Arlington, MassDOT, with all parties involved, and we thought we had the issue resolved. And to this date, they haven't submitted a check to NSTAR. And it just goes to show that even MassDOT doesn't have any control over NSTAR. They can't.
It's unbelievable.
It is. It really is.
You've been worried about not having control over NSTAR, but if the state doesn't,
that's what we're saying to ourselves. You know, we get calls from residents, how come the public utilities can do this and do this, and we say, well, we don't have any control over them. MassDOT can't get any control.
The state
over
can't
them.
Like
no.
Because they. Anyway, so if they can't come to an agreement, it takes longer. Will we end up picking up the tab?
No, they at the end of their contract limit, May 26th, they would ask for an extension, and MassDOT would, in all likelihood, give them an extension.
That means more money, too.
No.
Just time.
Yes. And unfortunately, this NSTAR issue came up fall of last year. We were aware of it. And MassDOT was where they just didn't get anywhere.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
It really is. I honestly thought a higher up at NSTAR and a higher up in MassDOT would just have a phone conversation and it would be done.
Unbelievable. Nobody seems to have any power. It's just decision-making power in that whole company.
And what makes it a little bit worse is the issue is a 2-foot section of PVC pipe underground. From where the contractor stops his new PVC to the NSTAR manhole in the street for 46 lights and 10 specialty lights. That's the connection. And it's the penetration of that manhole that NSTAR insisted they do, that only they do. And their estimate to the contractor was $77,000.
For one manhole?
No. For all 46. So the contractor thought that was high. That's when they started the discussion.
Well, it's not like they can go to anybody else.
Of course not. The estimate actually started off at $87,000, and they found an error that dropped it to $77,000. But you really can't get a breakdown on how they come up with these estimates.
Yeah.
They just throw out a number. And
same thing with us with the tree over here, $15,000.
They can, but then they get forced to watch the person.
And to top it off, the subcontractor for the general contractor, Dago Electric, is a qualified NSTAR subcontractor. He could do the work that NSTAR won't allow. So it's just...
This is just last fall.
We know.
So this project could have been.
Oh, this project could have been done months ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
There's nothing we can do.
What's going to be a tool in the omnibus one?
Well, any other questions?
No.
Motion?
Do I have any hands, right? I think we should hold it.
Yeah, for continued reports.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just keep on the agenda.
Okay.
Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Next item. Let's see. Oh, 244-10.
We won't.
Are we anybody here for this? There's nobody here for this.
Yeah, Freddie Russell's here.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Requesting discussion with the Utilities Director and the Public Works Commissioner regarding the possibility of installing second water meters for outside irrigation.
Thank you for putting me on last. I appreciate it.
Well, I don't like the agenda, my friend.
I really appreciate it. As you can see, Tom's not here. So, if I can make a suggestion, first of all, I have a feeling this is going to lead into a bunch of
issues. Do you know Fred?
Maybe
I
not.
I have my email.
Okay.
Fred Russell's the Director of Utilities.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Alderman Albright, Alderman Crossley, you met Alderman Lavin.
Thank you for your information on that.
You're welcome. You know, we'll forget to figure that out by now.
You'd be surprised. Tom was here the other
day.
Because a lot of guys from a lot of farmers since 2007 are sitting over there, who's this guy?
Thank you. Thank you. Now you can match the face.
Then I asked him where he's hiding since 2007. I never saw the guy.
Who's that, Bob Waddick?
Yeah,
he started about a month before me. but anyways, well, I assume that this is probably going to take a number of meetings and this debates, if you will. So if I can suggest, if I can maybe just give you some information I have tonight, maybe answer some questions, and then questions that maybe I can't answer right away, maybe take some information back and just follow up meeting and try to get some answers for you as far as that goes. But first and foremost, I can strongly recommend, and I believe this is the opinion of everybody, is to not have a Board of Aldermen do anything until the meter change on program is complete. We're 10 months into a 24-month process. So to do anything before that, I think, would be premature. What our plan is to put all the new meters in, then actually have a formal rate study done to let us know that, because by then we'll know exactly where every drop of water goes. Do a formal rate study to establish rates, which we then, you know, contribute. We can factor in what the infrastructure is going to cost us to maintain. And then maybe at that point, I would suggest looking into this issue. So that's just from my standpoint. What I have here is, I'm going to pass one out to everybody, is it's very complicated how the MWRA actually sets the city's rate, sewer rate. And this is somewhat of a little chart that shows exactly.
Thanks, man.
Okay. And real quickly, if I could just have you focus on the pie chart below at the bottom here. There's basically five components to make up how the MWRA generates our sewer bill. The 24.9, as you see, is basically the wastewater flow, which is generated by people's consumption of water, let's say. There's also the population, which they factor in, which is what this memo is all about, that explains how they factor in population, which you would think would be one of the same, but it's not. The other, which is what they call the max wastewater flow, is the infiltration and flow component that we've been talking about. We refer to II, which the city has an issue with. One is the VOD load, which is the biochemical oxygen demand, which is what it takes them at the plant to actually break down the sewage so that it can be treated. And the other one is TSS, which is total suspended solids. So the reason I'm pointing this out to you is that we take this very complex methodology, if you will, and we now insert it into water usage. So my point being is that if you consider giving people a break, I guess, from the sewer end for water use with irrigation systems, the best example I can give is that what if somebody who's you're giving a break for an irrigation system has a 1920-ish sewer pipe that that contributes millions and millions of gallons of filtration to our system. Until you can somehow pinpoint credits based on these five criteria to everybody, which is virtually impossible, I just caution on targeting one section of it, one aspect of it. That's my first pitch. The other pitch is that you could, and again, just to give you my background, prior to coming to Newton, I was the public works director in Woburn for 14 years. I had debates on this a number of times as well, for all different angles and that sort of thing. Just some of the things that came up in our lively discussions was some of the commercial properties, industrial properties, brought up the fact that, well, they can meter how much water is used in their processes that evaporate or basically disappear that are going to the sewer. And they were requesting now meters for those. You've got businesses that use water in products, in their product, whether it be pizza, dough, whatever, that, how do they, you know, that's not going in the sewer. That's not going in the sewer. What it does is it just tells you that there's a grand scope of, there's a lot of different, I guess, concepts you could grant relief for in addition to irrigation systems. So that was my point for bringing this up. Is, again, we take this complex methodology, and again, we just simplify it and put it into water consumption, water usage. But really, it's just a way of us I guess, putting a number to how we pay back this debt, if you will, to the MWRA. That being said, right now there are roughly about 400 residents or commercial properties or users that have a second meter. So based on that, it's roughly 1.5% of the population. That look, how many?
400.
Roughly it's like 403, which is about 1.5 to 1.6% of the population that now. Keep in mind, if you, and you, again, I hear this thing about equity, if you're trying to give them a break for equity, it's basically going to impact the other 98.4% ratepayers that don't have irrigation systems, because they're going to have to now pay more in sewer that they're getting the relief from. So that's just something to consider as well.
Well, nobody getting relief right now.
No, that's just
the meter might be there, but
right. No. Right. We have second
meters. We did have second meters.
We do, and we're actually changing them out as part of the meter program because we still have to read them, to build them.
Yeah, but those meters were put in by the individuals.
Correct.
They own them.
Correct. And we're replacing them with new meters. At no cost to them.
The second one.
But is their bill then? Because one of I'm sorry, I had to.
That's okay. I'm assuming this was like an informal discussion.
Yes.
So anytime,
yes.
Interrupt me and ask questions by all means.
My feeling, and this, you know, this has been on our agenda for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And many years ago, we were presented with something called the Dallas-Fort Worth model,
mm-hmm.
which didn't have a second meter, but had a change of rate during the summer consumption months, where
exactly.
Most people's water consumption,
yes.
you know, goes up somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, what we said was our meters were incapable of basically delineating, and that when we got the more sophisticated meters, we would revisit this and to see whether or not, at that point in time, we might change our rate structure
mm-hmm.
during the summer.
Yeah.
So. One of my personal problems with second meters is it's harder to get to the next level because you've got two separate meters. They're not put together. So when you use beyond a certain amount, you go into the next
rate. The next tier.
The next tier. Thank you. I was blanking on the word. And that's my concern about second meters. If we keep it all in one meter but then make potentially an adjustment if we feel there's a fair and equitable way, because you certainly don't want to shift an additional cost to your most fragile citizens who are trying to use as little as they could to compensate for those people who are using, you know, very large amounts. So my own personal preference after the meters are in is to look at potentially the change in rate structure to see if we might be able to do that in some sort of
way. I don't quite understand what you mean by the second tier. The meter reads separately.
Right.
When you use for irrigation or outside,
but if you use above 500 million gallons...
No, it's a separate meter. No matter what you read on that separate meter, you pay accordingly.
Right.
But you're not out of the sewer charge.
But if you pay this much, if you...
Depending on how much you use, but that's not going to work. I see what you're saying. You've got so much usage on one,
right,
and then you're going to increase it by going to the second one.
But you don't get to go up to the next tier.
Using the water. No, the water should go into the higher tier.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be charged the sewer for the water you're using on the second meter.
Well, that's one of the things that we could potentially deal with in terms of a rate. Scott, you want to say something?
Yeah, well, Deb actually had her hand up before I...
Sorry,
I just have a question.
Sure.
I'm unaware of the tiers. So if you use a certain amount of water, can you tell me how much water that is? And then could you tell me what happens to the rate when you go up?
There are three tiers.
There are three tiers. Luckily, I brought it.
Does the rate go up or down?
It goes up. It goes up. So it's charged in remote conservation. That's the whole purpose of it. So basically, if you'd like me to read off, from 0 to 20 HCF, and HCF is 100 cubic feet. That's what our meters read, 100 cubic feet. 0 to 20, the rate, the water rate is $3.27. From 21 to 70, it's $3.93.
We pass these rates each year.
Right, and greater than 70 is $4.72.
So what you're raising...
Husband obviously pays the bills.
What?
Her husband obviously pays the bills.
What you're raising about the two meters not being collected.
Right.
You will get that there if that thing won't be paying the additional...
Correct.
Now, one of the reasons that we have...
Well, 20 on both. If you have 20 on both, you're only...
You never go to the higher.
Right. If they were combined, you'd
even
get
though...
Right.
But one of the reasons that some of you might remember that we changed the way the condominiums were built was because in some of the condominiums, there was a single water meter, so that they immediately... got into the highest tier, even though as an individual homeowners, they were not using it. So we passed something for those places that were not able to provide separate meters to every...
And we're not associated with the people who own the apartments.
Right.
The guys that own the apartments come out very, very wealthy, I'll tell you that. Because they got a cut in there, and they didn't pass it on to the tenant. That's for sure.
Well,
I thought we did give it to
them. No, we gave it to the apartment owner.
I didn't think we did.
No, we did. We had to. We had to in order to give it to the condo. No. I argued the point, but we had to do it in order to give it to the condo.
So this is not an easy issue, and it's been around for a long time. And I will tell you, just by way of history, the most... I'll call them difficult because I don't want to be in record as referring to them in the other ways. Phone calls I ever received in this is my 17th year as an alderman. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were threats of physical violence. We're over this. Yeah. So that it's a very emotional issue for a lot of folks. And I think it's worth our, you know, view this as just a preliminary little background, not a decision-making session, because I don't think we are ready yet, because all of the meters aren't in to talk about whether or not...
I find it a little difficult now that I hear him say that they're going to replace the second meter and not going to be able to use it.
No, we have to read that. That's why we're replacing it. We still read both meters now.
Why not take one out and just have the one?
Because you'd have to replumb the whole down. They paid to have
a
second meter put in and separate plumbing so that separates the second meter.
No, it's
the homeowner. That would do it. They have a separate meter. They have a separate plumbing line put in for a second meter that goes to just strictly the irrigation system. Now, if we would have had to combine them, we would have to pay to have them replumbed, which...
So what's the difference between paying to do that and paying for a new meter?
Thousands of dollars.
Change a few pipes in the basement? Thousands of dollars?
It costs about $120 to put a new meter in.
What about the cost of the meter?
$120.
And then install it?
Yeah.
$120 is way pretty cheap, but $120 for a meter.
get a lot of people in spots.
No, Chair, I just want to say, I had discussed this with Fred in the past briefly, because this is something that I am in favor of doing. I look at it as a benefit that a homeowner can, you know, can take advantage of. I don't think it should be something that is done in terms of shifting any sort of cost or anything onto other rate payers. I think it all comes down to what you set as the rate for this benefit. I, just for full disclosure, as pretty much all of you know, I live on the Newton-Watertown line, and my water comes from Watertown because it comes in the back of my house off of Pond Street, which is actually Watertown. And they have second irrigation.
That's right.
Which I have. Okay? So I paid $200 for the meter, and I pay for all water consumption at the highest tier rate. They have a three-tier rate, okay, like we do in Newton, but all water consumption is done. You know that going in. Like this is. I know I'm paying the highest tier rate. So when I get my bill, I get two bills. I get one bill for my water and sewer charge, and then I get a second bill for the irrigation meter, and it clearly states, you know, what my consumption is, but it's all billed at the highest tier rate.
That's how they decided to do it.
And that was
offset the cost of the other one.
So, but I want to be very clear that if we're going to do so, I wanted to disclose that because, I feel like if I'm talking about something that I think is a benefit to people, that people should know my scenario. I also think that I feel strongly that it should, because I have had a couple calls about this since we were taking this up, and there is the thought that, you know, this what you're talking about, that we would be implementing something that somehow we would be shifting costs from some folks off to other folks, and I don't think that should be the case at all.
I think that's something we need to explore. Absolutely. Because the MWRA charges have to be covered.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, you know, like, but I'm assuming, I can't say this for fact, but I'm assuming that Watertown had to take that into consideration. Well, they're on MWRA, correct?
Yes.
So my sense would be that it does come down to the rate. It does come down to what you said. I don't feel there should be a sewer charge for water that's not essentially going into the sewer, but there are a number of concerns and problems with our infrastructure, and I think that whatever rate we set should help play into that, you know, on the advice of what Fred is telling us.
Right.
So I think it can be done. I think other cities and towns are doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's rocket science, but I think it has to be done in terms of making sure that we're not shifting costs or taking something away from a homeowner who's having difficulty paying, and that we're doing something that, you know, is equitable. So.
Well, it is an item that I'd love to have a longer discussion on when we're a little bit further along in the water replacement, and look at that model, look at a rate structure model, and make a decision. But if I would agree that people who are using water that isn't going into the sewer system should be able to get some sort of relief. Although, for me, it's very important that water not come in at the lowest rate, because to me, in a sense, it's a luxury item.
Exactly.
To have an
irrigation. I've got another question, if I may.
And then
we had an alderman here that insisted that the more water we use, the cheaper it comes from MWRA.
That is true.
Isn't
it?
Cheaper?
It is. It's more volume, right?
Your operating costs are the largest part of them are fixed. There is some room to now, but so obviously you divide the same number of dollars into more gallons, you can get a smaller
or cheaper
per gallon.
Right, but on one hand we're saying
conservation costs us more than if we use cut the whole run out the street.
Just as another quick note, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this, and if not, I can certainly get copies for everybody. This is put out by the Executive Office of Environmental Affairs, and basically it's water conservation standards that they promote for cities and towns. And if you look through this, there's a number of things they say, and I highlighted a couple that I can just read to you, is that it gets into rate structure, but the main thing they say, trying to minimize the use of potable water and groundwater for lawn irrigation. The technology regulations allow use collected rainwater or treated wastewater to help meet outdoor water demand whenever possible. And then it goes on to say that you should set your rate structure to try to deter people from irrigating with potable water, which this sort of flies against. There was another one here I just wanted to touch on.
It's a rain barrel, right?
Yes.
And encourage people to dig wells, and they're not paying for the water.
And it says, for rate structuring.
Yeah, I
know. I used to read one last thing. Rate structures. To promote water conservation, communities and waste and water supplies should consider rate structures that encourage reduction for non-essential water use. Generally, non-essential uses are defined as those activities not required, health and safety reasons, by regulation for agricultural maintenance of the livestock, and core functions of a business. So, again, irrigation is not what they consider, they consider irrigation non-essential, if you will. So,
just one comment on that. I think, generally, my understanding is that the EA and the state are talking about conservation because in communities where they're pulling water out of the rivers and the ground, whereas the NWRA communities they have a reservoir that supply water. So it's a little bit different scenario certainly if it was gone down, which it hasn't never been in the history of the reservoir to its critical yield, we may be asked to conserve water, but as a general rule, it was impounded. It's an artificial source to begin with, and as pointed out, the infrastructure is there. We're paying our debt on it. Even if everybody shut off the faucets for a day, we still have to pay the bills on it. So it actually gets cheaper per gallon when you use it. So the argument is that the conservation philosophy here in Newton, which is very prevalent, is not as well grounded because of the source of water in the first place.
Well, I think it's a complicated issue that we really are going to have to spend some serious time looking at, but I think it's a discussion that has to happen, and once we have something that we'd like to talk about that has, you know, multiple options, it would be time to hold a public hearing and have the public involved in the discussion. I personally don't think we're there yet because, you know, we have to get through this meter replacement, which is moving along now, but took us far too many years.
Just one point I was going to say on the conservation piece.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
I was going to say on the conservation piece, I'll use my own scenario again. I take pride in my yard, so I like to have it look that way. The only way you can keep it that way is by watering it. I feel I use less water than some of the people that I see on my street, because I set up my system to run only for a couple minutes every, you know, a day, whereas I see them doing the same thing with the big sprinklers that are out there that run half an hour to 45 minutes at a time. They're using a heck of a lot more water than I am when I set mine for 3 minutes, where that doesn't sound like a long time, but it takes care of it. So like, people need to be conscious of that as well. And I appreciate everything that Fred is saying and the standards, but I feel I'm using less water than other folks.
Let's take Cheryl, and then I'd like to move home because some of us have to be at a site visit at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we were here until midnight last night.
I think there are a few questions. There's a lot of things to weigh. Obviously, the point that the more we use, the cheaper it is one point. The fact that we should conserve is another point. The fact that we live in the garden city, which is supposed to have gardens, is another point. And
it's complicated,
but there's an issue. People have been asking for years, water meters, second water meters. We've been telling them, wait, we're going to get new water meters as soon as the new water meters are. So I know it's going to take a little while for them to get in, but I think that we at least should do the background work. I don't think we should wait till then to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should look into Watertown, and I'm sure different communities are doing it in different ways.
Yes. When do you project having the new meters completed?
Well, the deadline for the contract is April of 2012.
Okay. So I think it might be useful for us for this spring to start looking at proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have ample time.
We should do lots of background.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you'd like to get some information for you, by all means.
Yes,
I'd
like to look. I was actually going to ask this question. What about Shepherd Meter for sewage?
To meter your sewer? That is a very costly proposal.
$120 for the meter, I'll put it in.
That's not a water meter. For a sewer meter, you're looking at about, I can tell you. Because we pay for a 6-inch water meter on a fire system, we pay $3,500 for under the contract.
For sure.
No. Well, the meters we're using are new technology. They can actually be used for sewage and for water. There's no moving parts to them. They're what they call mag meters. But a 6-inch, which most people's lines coming out of their home is a 6-inch sewer line. A 6-inch meter that we're just buying a meter is $3,500. Now, keep in mind, you would have to excavate in the street at each connection to our sewer main, put a manhole in, because you have to have access to it. You can't just bury it. So now you would have a manhole at every sewer connection in the street.
Why wouldn't you tie it into the main on the street?
I thought you were saying about
the individual house. You want to
individual house,
and you tie it into the sewer line that you have now that's going out to the main.
Right, but you have to do it for each individual.
Well, I don't understand why you have to have a manhole at every house.
To be able to access the meter.
You'd have to put the meter at the end, right at where the service line meets the sewers.
You can't put it in the basement?
No, because if you want to collect everything, because between the basement and the connection into the city sewer, you don't know if there's infiltration coming in from that line. So if you want to do a true collection of everything that's going into the city sewer, you put it right at the connection between the city's the private service.
You're talking about
out the street, right? And you'd have to put it into a manhole. You'd have to now wire it back to an RTM unit that could send a signal back to the...
Do you know how many people that do it?
No. Not at all.
Well, I was told to ask the question.
Okay.
I didn't think it was feasible anyway, but...
I would like to move hold, but with the committee's approval, I'd like to ask Fred to think about collecting some information.
Sure.
Both in terms of communities that do second meters and how they set that up. Different rate structures and see what the possibility would be, because I think this is a discussion that really should happen in depth.
Right.
And as I said, once we have even several proposals, okay, it would be time to have a public hearing and allow people to have an opportunity to weigh in on these. But I think I'm saying 6 months, maybe not budget time, but...
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, the I&I is a huge issue, and that has to be factored in to whatever the structure or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Are we finding a lot of people tie in their drains? What do we do? Give them time to get rid of them?
Well, we're working on identifying where they are first. And then once we do that, then we're going to figure out a program on how we can get them to remove.
Thank you for coming in. No, this has been helpful. I'd like a motion to hold on this item. 6-0. And why don't you figure out a time? You've got a lot on your plate right now, but
not in a hurry.
Yes,
5-6.
Yeah.
You know, we will take you early.
He was complaining.
Yeah. Well, not last
week. He complained when he came to the table.
The very few times that I've been here, I've always been last.
You're on first. But let's avoid the budget.
You had left the room and you said to me, would you put me on last? Me? I had nothing to do with it.
That's all Ms. Salvucci.
My item, but I didn't put you on with that.
Okay. So there, we moved hold on 244-10. Thank you for coming in. The next one will be very brief. It's 385-07.
Alderman Schnipper and Gentile updating the Public Facilities Committee on the progress of the Newton North project. Commissioner Rooney has just walked into the... Oh, I can't believe I said that.
Commissioner?
Commissioner, I... You will forever be Commissioner.
Your
Highness. No, I was just about to say that at our last meeting, he raised the issue of a stoppage that had occurred in the abatement process that has been resolved, and they're back to work. We did get approval from DEP for the process that is being used. It's moving along well. They're probably about a week or two behind schedule, but there are some hopes of catching up. It is a potential expectation that the first section of the building will actually start coming down sometime next month.
I saw one big window that didn't have it covering on it anymore.
The covering was all inside.
They're feeding as they got the inside of the material, they're feeding out that hole and putting it in the truck. So it's not that it's contaminated. The section is all partitioned inside, so it's in containment. And so as they move into that to do any abatement, they'll seal that up as well.
Okay. There really isn't much else to report. I mean, things are
good. They didn't find he has more mercury or anything else?
No, all of that has been dealt with. Was that window ever replaced in the pool area?
Not yet.
Still hasn't been replaced.
Did they ever figure out how to affect the piece of
ceremony?
You mean after the building comes down?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be putting the field in. They'll be putting the field in now, maybe. It'll be green again.
Right.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to hold on that item. 6-0. Thank you very much. I will see my colleagues at 7:15 tomorrow morning.
Don't see me.
Cheryl, you
can... I have seen this site so many times.
I know. Thank you so much.
10 years ago, I know
it too, and I am beyond exhausted. So I'm sorry for rushing at the end, but I just...
Oh, no. Moving... You will never get a complaint for moving things along from me.
Everybody.
All right, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
All right.